quarter to 12, I guess our next segment here on Fridays is really all about being the best of homegrown as well. It's called Food on Friday. We're all familiar with the types of florid descriptions used on wine labels. Let me just quote here. Things like faintly sweaty, grassy gooseberry aromas, or bracingly clean and crisp with slippery acidity coursing through fruit ranging from herbaceous to tropical. Love that. But what if similar descriptions were being used to describe seafood? Would we be interested as consumers? Lester Marshall is an oyster farmer from the Eyre Peninsula in South Australia, and he was recently awarded a Nuffield Scholarship to explore this grand vision to create a language, a lexicon, to describe Australia's seafood. Lester, welcome back to the country.
Yes, Michael, how are you doing?
I'm well. Where are you at the moment?
Well, I'm very blessed to be sitting up in Sejuna, overlooking Denial Bay into the Great Australian Bight. I'm standing outside here, and it's a lovely, lovely day.
So, that's good to hear.
I'm on the seafood frontier. I'm on home soil.
Where did you go overseas as part of the scholarship to investigate ways to describe what you grow?
Look, I went to China, Spain, France, all through England, Cornwall, Scotland, over to America, Japan, Tokyo. Tokyo was very interesting, looking at the Wagyu beef model. You know, $773 a kilo for some of the Wagyu from Matsusaka region. Fascinating stuff.
So in this wonderful mission, and I must say, it sounds like a great way to spend a scholarship.
I've ate my way around the world.
I'm sure you did. Lester, you were looking for a new language, is that right? A new way of describing oysters as perhaps your primary area of production.
Yes. Well, being a Coffin Bay oyster farmer here, we've got a very distinctive flavour for our seafood, or for our oysters, but all our seafood from this region, is when you go overseas, is recognised for its premium quality and flavour. But the problem is when we want to communicate our new regional brand, Australia Seafood Frontier, we really struggled to say, you know, we've got clean water, we've got, environmentally sustainable, but people really say, well, yeah, so what? That's great, but what's it taste like? And we go,
it tastes like an oyster.
We don't have the language. I mean, there's a huge variation between the bays here and Coffin in the seafood frontier, from Cow, Smoky Bay, Denial Bay, Streaky Bay, and Coffin Bay, and they're all magnificent oysters, but they've all got totally different flavours, as like wine has from their regions.
Okay, well, look, let's go through this then. If I was to pick up a Coffin Bay oyster compared to some of the other regions in the Eyre Peninsula you've just described to me, what are the differences in flavour that I would pick up on my palate?
Well, that's the problem. No, the ones in Coffin Bay, there's a particular algae that grows, that the plant for the ocean that grows down there, and we get a nutty sort of flavour. That seems to be a bit of a common thread. But see, we've got texture, like the texture. We've got the three areas. Aroma first.
Yeah.
So you've got like the marine smell. When you get out of your car and you get to the beach and you smell that fresh sea air, there's a distinctive smell, aroma, and that should be the same as an oyster when you first smell it. Then you've got the texture. And that's some people who don't like oysters or don't like their perception is that they're like squishy or slimy. But the people who like oysters, you ask them the texture, they'll say, oh, it's a silky or a satin feel. And I say it's like a medium rare Scotch fillet steak, very similar texture. So, yes.
Because you have a beef background, don't you, Lester?
I do. I'm agricultural background until I was about 27. And then I went oyster farming. And I've been doing that for now 17 years. And look, it's a fantastic industry, and the people who like oysters are mad passionate about them. It's amazing. So, but we need to help convince all our other seafoods, in tuna, crabs, crayfish, our prawns, all that sort of stuff. It's a fantastic premium product, but we're not giving our point of difference to the consumer in this day and age who want to know what that flavour is.
So the devil is in the detail of the flavour, and someone who's been helping you shape that message, if you like, is with me as well, because joining us is Peter Singline. Peter goes by the unlikely title of a brand scientist. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Michael.
Tell us what a brand scientist does.
Brand scientist, Michael, we have a title like that just to make people like Lester feel impressed.
That's going well there.
That they've got us working with him, and it adds significantly to the fees.
Yeah. Well, aside from adding to the fees, tell us what it is that you've been helping the Eyre Peninsula primary producers do.
Yeah, sure. I think the Eyre Peninsula has a unique part of Australia as its footprint. And we've been working with them to try and understand how to communicate that to the marketplace. And Les has mentioned a couple of times the thought around Australia's seafood frontier. And so we worked with quite a lot of producers down there, all the different seafood species, beef producers, wine producers, to try and understand what is it about the Eyre Peninsula that is unique, how should we position that to the world. And essentially, it's seafood is by far the most dominant characteristic of the environment.
So how does the branding of a region like that with Seafood Frontier help me if I'm a beef or wine producer in that area?
Well, what it carries with it is the connotation of it being environmentally fresh and clean, windswept, wild, and very pure. So the whole notion of frontier has been very important.
Okay.
The sheer produce quantities that come out of the Eyre Peninsula in terms of seafood is significant. Significant both in terms of the region, but also in terms of Australia. But it's really the purity of it that implies that it's just a great area for producing any sort of food produce.
So in some ways, this is very interesting because this area of South Australia is now fledgling in the way that King Island would have been fledgling, say, 3 decades ago.
Correct, correct. And I must say, we had the pleasure of working with King Island Dairy Brand for about 13 years. And when we first started working with King Island Dairy, we started doing research with consumers. They would describe the island as if they'd been there 100 times. And in most cases, they didn't know where the island was.
Mm.
So, but the sense...
But you can eat the island.
You can eat the island. The wind swept, clean... And almost the feeling that the cows had doonas on. I mean, they were just nurtured, they slept inside. So they had all of that imagery, and it's the imagery that makes the brand. I mean,
yeah.
It's clearly, if you then build an image and you eat the product and it disappoints, then the deeds of the brand will undermine it.
You've broken the contract, haven't you?
Correct. That's exactly right. So it's all about authenticity. And I think that's the thing about regional brands, that the Eyre Peninsula, King Island, etc. They have huge authenticity because they come from a real place.
Mm.
People are looking for having an understanding of where food sources are coming from.
Lester, let's come back to you. By the way, if you just joined us, we're talking in Food on Friday about how it is you brand and market a region as a food region when you're starting from scratch. And the Eyre Peninsula is a case in point. Lester Marshall is a South Australian oyster producer on that peninsula who had an Nuffield scholarship to go and study how other people do it. Now, you caught up with a particular chef in the UK, Lester. Tell us about him.
Yes, Mitch Thompson is his name, and he's a celebrity food chef and writer. And the seed of thought was in my mind about a language, but I met Mitch and saw some of his work, and they've done some descriptions with seafood flavours in the UK, and that really captured my imagination. And so I've grabbed some of that stuff and brought that back as a bit of a case in point to look at how we can use similarities.
Because Mitch Tonks put out a publication, didn't he?
He did, yes, he did. The Young's Lexicons of Seafood, yeah.
Give us an example of the kind of stuff he describes seafood as.
Well, this is one. This, you guessed the fish. This is the one. The tasting notes of a particular fish: new leather and a deep, unrefined sweetness close to muscovado or palm sugar are the predominant notes in the aroma of this fish. The flavour echoes some of the Nubuck character, but instead of sweetness, it's balanced by the muskiness of a newly cracked hazelnut shell and a strong suggestion of tomatoes grilled just short of being charred. A fine mesh of strong fibres and a fairly low level of moisture results in a chewy texture. That, of course, would be the grey mullet.
Of course, it's the first thing that sprang to mind. You too, Peter?
Oh, actually, Michael wrote down goldfish. That's pretty close.
There are empty tanks across the country as we speak because of that description. That is amazing. Lester, you've got to tread a line here, don't you, though, between giving consumers a sense of propriety over what they're putting in their mouths, but at the same time, not coming off as a bit of a wanker.
You need to have a simple, clear message. I couldn't agree more. Now, that may be a bit over the top, but then again, these guys actually ran all their seafood through a very, very rigorous tasting process, and this is exactly the flavours and the textures and the aroma that come from this fish, and all the other fish and seafood species was the same. So it'll be very interesting to see what we do with our seafood.
Well, do you want to adopt that kind of lexicon when it comes to your oysters?
We certainly want to have a very simple, clear message on the flavours.
Because you've divided your oysters into taste categories already, haven't you? You've got names for them.
For mine, yes.
Yeah. Tell us what your names are.
We've got five different brands, and we've got the Cupid oysters, as a very about a 40 mil long oyster, very very delicate and petite flavour, very sweet. And then we've got a Valentine oyster, which is the perfect size, about 60 to 70. And then the Casanova oyster is a bit bigger, as a 785. And look, they are all a different eating experience with different flavours, purely in the size.
And is the largest oyster called, Lester, the Errol?
No,
I'm just wondering. I'm just seeing this whole sort of Lothario thing going.
We've got a king oyster, which is about 6 years old, and it's about 100 grams of meat. And we've only got a handful of those pets, and I'll use them. We've sold a couple for $100 each, but basically I won't sell them. I mean, I just want to keep them, just when we do displays and stuff like that.
And what are they called? Those large ones?
The king oysters.
The king oysters.
Cockapoo kings.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just about as big, about 150 mils long.
Golly.
Massive.
Wow.
Yeah, golly, right?
Lester promotes those as big enough to feed a family, Michael. So.
Well, $100 they better be.
That's right.
But, you see, the thing is, I mean, you look at the Wagyu beef.
Yeah.
$773 a kilo, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's uncooked.
That's a kilo, though,
that's
Lester.
That's a kilo, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's 700, but that's amazing. Do you know what I mean? Like, people will pay, and it doesn't matter if it's a Rolex watch or a Ferrari car, if they feel it's quality and the brand is correct, they will pay, and people want that.
And you're charging $100 for 100 grams, are you?
Yeah, but that's
so that's $1,000 a kilo?
Yeah.
That's Wagyu oyster.
Yeah, pretty much. There's the brand. There you go.
See?
You just can't produce that. It takes 6 years. You just can't. Once they're gone, they're gone.
Peter, what are the lessons here for other producers who might be listening to this and thinking, well, here's something I need to adopt in my neck of the woods. How do I do this?
Well, I think one of the principles Lester's picked up with his travels overseas is to create the sense of having something that you're offering that's very special.
Yeah.
So I think that the way Lester has gone about segmenting, rather than just saying an oyster is an oyster, he is really working to different specifications.
I've just tucked into a Casanova.
Correct. And so I want to understand the Casanova, and I want to understand how that was nurtured, how it was actually brought to the plate. So there's an element of saying that you are having an experience that's incredibly special. That builds a level of appeal that then brings with it some sort of premium. And so if you compare that with where Lester started with actually essentially farming all his oysters as if they were the same product, putting them in a Hessian bag and then sending them off to a wholesaler, he has really moved down the food chain significantly in terms of trying to understand how to build some mystique into the product, because all of us, in a consumption sense, want to share in the story that's wrapped around the particular product. And Lester's about creating those stories, and even the lexicon about seafood, that's just adding another layer of storytelling. And so I think make it special, wrap a story around it, because we share in that. When you think of King Island Dairy, I mean, when you read on the product that because the pastures are so fantastic because of all the shipwrecks and the seas being washed up out of the mattresses, I mean, myth, fact,
who cares?
It just says something about why this product is so magical and why it's some sense of indulgence. So.
Well, Peter, thank you very much indeed. And Lester, I'm going to go away and save on behalf of my family for a large king. And congratulations on the research you've been doing. And I hope it bears fruit not only for you but for other producers on the Eyre Peninsula. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Good on you, Lester. Lester Marshall, I should say, South Australian oyster producer. Peter Singline is a brand scientist with Brand DNA. Peter, can we have you back at some other stage?
Certainly, Mike.
That'd be great. And we've been talking about food, in this case seafood, and how we describe it to give it that differentiation on the palate and as a consumer. That's Food on Friday, and in fact the show for this week. Thank you to the entire Bush Telegraph team for all their work over the last 5 days.